WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree. And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now... You are,
and it is awesome.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can love, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Had I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell...
Ow!
What the game is playing.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Everyone, welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out at youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the right way, follow the channel, hang on chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward, and yes, I know Ask the Rack is a point redemption, but I'm pretty sure an entire show preview does not fall under that. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
I mean, you really don't have to spend that much time on something. I mean, you can redeem points. And we would have to honor it.
You would have to honor it. This is your channel.
But if it says, ask Lindsay what her predictions for Russell Dream are, then we would have to honor it. You can tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Rock Radio Show, at Lindsay Ward, Wild Talk Radio, RockRadioShow.com, or twitch.tv/W2Live to interact with us live. You can do exclamation point candy in chat too. If you missed our earlier stream, we talked all about Candy Crush Saga, which is now available to download for free by doing clicking on the link in chat as it scrolls by at some point this evening.
Are you that much of an ass? I don't know, Brent. But yes, do the command in chat. Go download the game. Support the channel. Your efforts are appreciated. But we are here to talk about Bad Blood, not anybody else's shows. Thank you. We also have news notes, other stuff.
It depends on how much of an ass he wants to be. Anyway.
I mean, we know him, so.
We do.
We know his capabilities.
We know his capabilities. That is for sure. Yeah. Anyway, we have other things besides that to get into tonight.
We do. So let's jump right into the news brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check out youtube.com/MBG1211. And it's been a somewhat quiet week in the world of professional wrestling, which we're all okay with. But there is a couple big things that happened this week. Leading off with WWE, DDP signed a new Legends contract, which was a pair because he was at the pay-per-view.
He signed
it. PLE.
He signed it right after the PLE. Too. He got home and signed the deal. There you go.
There is a question in the chat.
I'm looking to see if it actually has a cooldown or not. Anyway, continue.
God. Don't you do what I think you're about to do. Don't you do it, Brent. I know what you're thinking.
There is a cooldown on it. That's all I can say. There is a cooldown.
So you can't spam.
Can't spam it. No.
Joining him, and this one was actually a little bit of a surprise considering his previous feelings on the company, but Jesse Ventura has also signed a Legends deal with the company.
Yeah, that one's been in the works for a bit after he showed up at Raw about a month ago. And he's officially signed, and as we've been talking about, probably going to be doing something. There's nothing to redeem on. There's no question. Oh no, there was no question. Why was there no question?
But there's confetti. There's lots of confetti.
Hey, Brent.
Thank
try
you
it
for
again.
The confetti.
Hey, Brent, try it again.
Does he have 10,000 channel points to redeem?
He probably does.
But yeah, no. So good for him and good for DDP. And let's hope it's the beginning of a successful relationship.
Yeah. Hopefully it's a successful relationship between the pairings and stuff. And hopefully things don't go down. So we'll see.
We will see. Moving on to AEW. Taz has undergone successful knee replacement surgery. He put it out on Twitter that he had successfully made it through. He did ask for room 13, but unfortunately they did not give it to him. They missed by several digits, but he's doing well and on the mend. So congratulations to him.
Yeah, it's knee surgery. He's needed for quite some time. And he finally got it. So he'll be off of TV for a bit. Probably through the rest of the year, and because they wouldn't need them, they have 1,500 announcers. So
So a change up would be good.
Hey, look, we got an Ask the Rock question. Hey, Lindsay, can you at the end of the show give your picks for Wrestle Dream?
If you send me a sheet, yeah, because I'm not googling that shit myself.
There you go. Anyway, continuing.
Actually, wait. Is the show actually set, or is he going to name like five more matches before, like after I do my picks?
I think there are 11 matches announced, so maybe not. Maybe.
I don't. I they like to have 16 to 20 matches on their shows.
They do. But I think you're safe.
Are we sure? We thought this last time, and then he slapped two on it on like Friday or Saturday.
I think we're going with the 11 that have been officially announced. I think that's the number we're going with for Pick'em, unless something happens Friday night. Anyway, Brent, send us the thing and we'll do it at the end of the show after Bad Blood.
So, all right, moving on. Daniel Garcia signs a contract extension with AEW. So, congratulations to him.
Yeah, I mean, he's been talked about whether he's going to stay or go, and apparently he's staying with AEW. So. There you go. Congrats.
And AEW and Fox Sports Mexico have announced a long-term agreement that will see Fox Sports Mexico broadcast all of AEW's programming and special events. The deal starts October 12th with AEW Wrestle Dream. Hey, what do you know? As part of the deal, the new All Elite show will premiere and air on Mondays. The show is an original production dedicated to analyzing the most relevant events of the week and previews the upcoming AEW events.
Congrats. They have an international television deal in Mexico.
Good for them. Happy for them.
Rampage was listed in the press release, which means for 2 months you get Rampage, because in 2 months...
It might be going bye-bye.
Rampage is canceled. But here we are.
It's fine. It's all fine. Just don't say anything bad about it because people will yell about you. Anyway, Blaine Burns.
Bones breaking. Backs cracking. Shoulder snapping. It's this week's injury roundup.
This is unfortunate because I feel like he just, like, literally just came back.
He did.
AJ Styles with an injured foot.
Hashtag blame Brent.
So they ran an injury angle during the show for his knee. Mm-hmm. But in the spot to do the knee later in the match, he injured his foot.
Oh, no. Oh, dear. I mean, that's some irony right there.
Yeah, he just came back and they were doing an injury angle so Carmelo Hayes can get a title shot at LA Knight tomorrow night on SmackDown. And then he got hurt. And he was selling, but he was selling it because he was actually hurt. But not the injury they were talking about on television, which was his knee.
So he but might it still have looked fantastic.
Yeah, but he might have a Liz Frank injury in the foot, so that kind of sucks.
Ooh. Hopefully you won't need surgery or anything like that.
Hopefully not. Probably just time to heal.
So get well, AJ. Get well. And with that, I think we're going to take our break for the evening. And when we come back, we are going to be talking all about Bad Blood and, I guess, picking Wrestle Dream. So you're listening to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com. We will be right back. Love, are you alone? But please don't leave me here alone. I don't feel how you feel. Well, it's my fault, I'm bones. I don't die how you die. I can't just waste away.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
This just into the CB Radio News Desk. Sources have confirmed that CB Radio will be live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Wasn't this confirmed last year?
Yes.
Then how is this breaking news?
No one said it was breaking news. We here at the CB Radio News Desk are just confirming what has already been confirmed.
To confirm, you are just confirming that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed. We would like to remind you. Always trust the source that confirms that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed.
Confirmed.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
Every Sunday night, the evolution continues with Wrestle Talk Radio, giving you all the latest happenings in sports entertainment. With the intern, the producer, the original Tim Stein, and sometimes, a K-Sheep. It's WTR Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Mountain, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Monday night, once Monday Night Raw ends, the Raw Post Show goes live.
You want to hear a story? Give me a hell yeah!
Join Lindsay and Sir Rockin' as they give their opinions on what they liked,
what?
What they didn't like,
what?
And what left them completely confused.
What?
It's the Raw Post Show.
What?
Monday nights.
What?
Now at 10 p.m. Eastern.
What?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And that's the bottom line! Go Stone Cold Simpson!
Did you know that you can use support a creator code ROCKSOCK in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
Hey,
Hey, this is Gail Kim, TNA Knockout, and you're listening to the Rack Radio Show.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, we can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button at the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out and chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. And we are back with our Bad Blood review, which was this past Saturday, right here in good old Atlanta, Georgia.
All the celebrities were out.
All the celebrities were out. All the legends. There was a party going on. Like, there was some top tier atmosphere happening.
Bianca, Jade, and Naomi were the hosts of the show. You had every legend you could think of at the show. From Mickey James to DDP to Arn Anderson and what was it? Tully?
Tully, I think, was there. Lillian Garcia was there. Jacqueline was there.
Booker T was there. X-Pac they flew was everybody there.
They flew everybody in for this.
And even Goldberg.
Well, he lives here, so he didn't have to go far. His son did. He used to live here.
His son did, though.
His son had to come a long way.
So let's talk about that to start. So it was Triple H announced that starting this year, and a crown jewel, and every crown jewel going forward, there'll be a crown jewel championship to be defended only at crown jewel. Basically, it's a trophy. It's a very, very fancy trophy belt.
Easier to travel with in specific instances.
Yeah, so they made a championship belt that will probably be, the person will probably win it, take photos with it, and then leave it in Saudi Arabia, and they'll probably put it on display at the WWE experience, one would assume.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was figuring would happen with it, is that it was either going to get left there, or they would win it, they would pose with it, they would go backstage, they would take the pictures, and then we'd get handed right back to Hunter, and he's like, okay, this goes in the vault, you don't get to keep this, we'll send you a copy.
Yeah, so they'll probably put it on display at the fan experience in Saudi Arabia. So Hunter's out, introduces his belt, Gunther comes out, and then he makes some comments and towards Goldberg in the crowd because of stuff that happened a couple weeks ago, and then Goldberg took exception with it. Goldberg stormed to the ring. Sami Zayn came out and had a brawl with Gunther, setting up the match on Monday on Raw between Gunther and Sami, which Gunther won. And then everyone's talking about, is Goldberg coming back for one more match?
You know, when he started bitching about the fact that, oh, I didn't get the send-off that I deserved and Vince didn't treat me with respect, I'm like, oh.
Vince promised me this and they haven't held up on it because Vince isn't there.
But they saw money and you never say no to money. So Mr. Contractual Obligation is going to come back and face Gunter at some point.
You know?
Not at Saudi.
It's not happening at Saudi Arabia because he's fighting Cody. Honestly, you could do it at Saturday night's main event and be fine with
it. You could do it on the dark match before Raw, so none of us have to see it except for the crowd that's there. Apologies to the people in the crowd, but somebody has to suffer.
You could market it for Saturday night's main event and get away with it.
Oh, totally.
Because Goldberg is a recognizable name that you can put out there, and people on NBC, if you run commercial ads, would know who Goldberg is. So it would be a recognizable name. You can also do it on a Netflix episode and get away with it.
You do it on the launch of Netflix.
You could, but I want it because I wouldn't do it, period, at all. I don't need to see it. But if you're going to do it, I want to do it on the first week because the first week, you're already bringing back enough, and it's going to be loaded enough, you don't need a Goldberg match. on that show.
I mean, fair.
Because you're going to have Cena and probably Dwayne.
Yeah.
And that's enough for night one of Netflix in terms of bringing back like guys who will work. We'll see. But if we get one more Goldberg match, it is what it is. I don't want to see it, but if it happens, it happens. But let's talk about go ahead.
I forget who said it on Sunday. I think it was you or it was Brent who said that out of everybody, Gunther probably is the ideal candidate for Goldberg because he won't work a very quick style with Goldberg. He kind of has explosive moments, but he can go slower if he needs to. He can do the rest hold because his style tends to lend towards that kind of thing. So it will be a better match for Goldberg in terms of just making him look good. I just don't want to see it because personally I feel there's no need. And I'm still very bitter about what happened with Bray and the fact that they put Goldberg over Bray when they really shouldn't have. But here we are, and I don't want to see the same thing happen to Gunther, but again, here we are. Because my fear with it is that it's not going to be one match. It's going to be Goldberg comes back and he's like, oh, I want to have another run. And then we're going to have to suffer through that however long it is, which I don't need to suffer through any more Goldberg. I'm good. I'm fine. I experienced it the first three times he did it. I'm fine. Really, I'm good. 5-minute Boston Crab. Yeah, basically. So... yeah, but moving on from Mr. Contractual Obligations.
Let's talk about the rest of the show.
The rest of this show overall was very enjoyable. I liked the pacing of it. I liked how this went. I know some people were not happy, especially with the match order. People felt certain things should be in other places than they were. But honestly, I liked it. I liked how they paced the show. I liked how they put everything out. And this is probably the most controversial, which is that the opener for the show was CM Punk versus Drew McIntyre.
Inside hell.
Hell.
In a cell. Yeah. Because of how the show ended, made sense why this was first.
It's not even how the show ended. It's how this match went. This was... They promised there would be blood, and by God, they delivered.
Yeah, there was
there
blood.
There was blood.
There was bad blood. In this match,
there's bad blood, there was blood, there was weapons, there was stuff flying everywhere.
But they didn't try to make
beads.
There were beads, but they didn't try to make it this splashy spectacle where you were trying to outdo one another from a spectacle standpoint. You were trying to outdo each other from a physicality standpoint, and that's what made this really good.
Yeah, and the thing with that was, and my point was that with this going on first, this allows them to do the cleanup in between one of those accursed commercial breaks and then just move right on with the show because they raise the cage up. They have to sweep everything up, change the ring mat because it's all covered in blood and you can't have it be all covered in blood. That's gross. It's unsanitary. That allows them to do that. But by getting it on first and getting it out of the way, they can go ahead and take care of that. And then you can just have the rest of the show for the rest of the night. But yes, also because a specific final boss showed up, it makes complete sense why this was on first. And honestly, they got the hot portion of the crowd. The crowd was super into this. They gave us a show. This lived up to every expectation I had for it, honestly. I liked that it was more physical. Like, it was. It was exactly what we had talked about on Thursday, which was the return to the more traditional Hell in the Cell versus, like, what you mentioned, people just trying to outdo each other for the sake of outdoing each other, making it very flashy and very splashy. This was very much just two guys beating the crap out of each other with whatever they could get their hands on, including their own hands.
Hands, wrenches, toolboxes, steel steps to the back or the butt, whatever you wanted to call it.
It hurt.
That just hurt. We had the beads that got spilled. As I mentioned on Sunday, he made a bracelet for the girl who made him a bracelet.
Which is nice.
And gave it to her at the show. So everything.
What would be nice is if they gave her royalties for the bracelet that they put on shop.
Well, they changed the bracelet on the shop.
They should still give her royalties since she was the one that originally made it.
Yeah, well, they now it's a different bracelet, so they don't owe her royalties.
But they should do it. Since they based an entire storyline around her piece of work, she should, get a little something for that. Just pointing that out.
But no, that was a really nice gesture on his part to do it and give it to her at the show. Everything came full circle. But no,
yes.
they were physical. They tore into each other. They made sure they left their mark. And CM Punk came out on top. He sold it after the match, needing oxygen. And he didn't want to be helped to the back. He walked on his own. Drew had to be helped to the back. CM Punk sold the effects on Monday. It all worked.
Honestly, the ending after the match was my favorite part. The sell of both men, like especially them showing like Punk needing oxygen and having to be helped to the back, and him just sitting there covered in blood, needing oxygen, and them trying to carry Drew out. Like just them showing the effects of that and how brutal the match had actually been. And then we get to see the aftermath on Monday. Like that was just a chef's kiss in terms of storytelling, because more often than not with Hell in a Cell, you don't get to see that part. They don't really show you that part, or the talent doesn't necessarily think to do it, where it's, oh, you know, I can barely walk. With Drew and Punk, they completed that this was an absolutely brutal knockdown, drag out, tear down kind of fight, where they settled the score between the two of them.
Like Punk shut the door on his way out. I was like, yep, we're finished.
We're done. This is it. This was a perfect capstone to what has been an excellent feud between the two. And I applaud everybody involved in this. This was really well done, really well executed, and a fantastic opener. Like, I love that this opened, because to me, you open hot. And I always say that, like, whatever show, whatever match opens the show sets the pace and the tone for the show. You know, if the opening match is really, really, really good and really, 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 really hot, then the rest of the show will be good.
Yep.
Especially in the Hunter era. And I have to, that held true in this. Not everything was, slobberknocker, but it was good.
Usually the blow off of the way it should be, not just another match in the feud. Yep, that's the point.
Yeah.
That's the meaning they wanted to bring back to Hell in a Cell, is like, yes, it fell at for an event they were booking, but they booked the event for the match. It wasn't, hey, we're going to do it in October just to do it. No, we booked out the storyline and called the event Bad Blood because that's what we're doing. We built the match to it.
There was a lot of forethought put into it, and you can tell that there was a lot of forethought, because this feud has been going for what? Since Mania? Since before Mania?
I mean, off and on? He injured him at the Rumble. They continued it through Mania, and since then.
So we've had, 10 months of storytelling?
Yeah, and you can even take it back to our Survivor Series when it debuted.
Yeah, so almost a year. I mean, that's some long-term booking and some long-term storytelling, and
it helped that Punk got hurt and was out for 4 months of it, but yeah.
Yeah, I won't disagree with that, but they also have a way of bringing stuff around and making sure it's going to work right. But yeah, It's instead of like the old Hell in a Cell themed pay-per-view where it's like we're just doing Hell in a Cell for Hell in a Cell's sake and we're just going to throw two people in it in a really poorly built sort of scenario. It's no, Drew and Punk are going to have this series of epic battles and fights and, you know, all these types of things, to the point that there is no other alternative. There is nothing else that will settle this other than Hell in a Cell, because in terms of like WWE booking and matches, Hell in a Cell is like the end all, be all. That's it. You're not coming back from this. We're not hitting this story again for like at least a year kind of match. It's sort of like the Inferno match. You just don't do it to do it. You hate each other so much that the only way somebody will be satisfied is if they light the other person on fire. Like that's spite right there. That is a level of hatred I don't know if I could achieve. But it's that kind of thing. So I love how they built to this, and they built this feud, yes, for this match, but they had enough foresight and enough thought to carry it through that long-term booking and build that rivalry and build that hatred, where Drew and Punk are just going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, and it's like it heats up and then it cools off, and then it heats up again and then it cools off, and Punk gets injured, and then, because the whole time that Punk was injured, Drew was just chapping his ass the whole time. Like Drew was just out there living his best life, peeling it up, talking trash about Punk the entire time he was gone. They just didn't arbitrarily move Drew on as someone else while Punk was out there. You had Drew working, you had him in other matches, but it always came back to Punk. And it always came back to Drew talking smack about Punk. And then Punk came back to defend himself, and that's when it kicked off. Like, I just have to applaud everybody. This was super, super well executed.
Indeed. What's next?
Up next, we have Nia Jax taking on Bayley. This was, I mean, in terms of the matches, this was not the most memorable match. I thought the finish was good.
The ref bump was good. The little kick to her head and they're falling, and Nia falling on the ref was nice. They worked hard. The Hurricanrana spot in the corner was interesting. But yeah, it was just a solid match. Tiffy coming out and trying to, had a briefcase. The referee picked up the briefcase like she's cashing in. The Nia Jax sit up, the meme there with the Taker sit up. I mean, it was fine.
They kind of broadcasted it a little bit, but yeah, it was okay.
Yeah, I mean, it was what it was. It was a Nia Jax title defense. That's where it had to go. That's what it had to be. And hopefully they find something for Bayley to do that does not involve the title for a little bit. And they find a new challenger for Nia Jax going forward. Because she needs a new opponent.
She does. But they are sowing the seeds of distrust between Nia and Tiffany. I like
they
that.
Are.
That's
they
good.
Are. But we're still a ways away from the cash-in.
Oh, yeah. Totally. But when you do a more subtle tease like that, because it's not Tiffany was like, I'm going to cash in, I'm going to cash in. It's like, no, I'm running down to help Nia. And like Jessica Carr, who's like knocked for a loop, doesn't really know what's going on, sees Tiffany with the briefcase and is like, oh, I'll take the briefcase. And she's standing there all woozy and selling the shit out of it, which go Jessica Carr. And, you know, Tiffany's checking on Nia and, you know, she's kind of like, and you just see her look over at Jessica and look at Nia and look back at Jessica. And she thinks about it. And right as she starts to think about it, Nia sits up. And then it's no, 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 no. No, 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 no. No, I wasn't doing it. I wasn't going to cash in. I wasn't going to do it. I swear. I promise. You have my word. And then you just had the awkwardness afterwards, which was really well done. But yeah, so hopefully they can find something for Bayley to do. And hopefully they find something for Nia to do. Up next, we have Damian Priest taking on Finn Balor in a singles match. No stipulation, no titles, no nothing.
This was
fine.
Yeah, it was just okay.
Go ahead.
It wasn't anything overly spectacular. It was just, it felt like a match on a show. It didn't stand out, and it wasn't booked that way to stand out. But it just became a match. It just sort of, all right, cool. It happened. It furthered the Finn Damian storyline, I guess, a little bit, or could have ended it all. And I think it should end. Like, it feels like that's coming to an end, or Damian's going to stick with the Judgment Day stuff. But it feels like, based on comments, the Terror Twins stuff is over.
I think they're going their separate ways. I think they're going to do their own thing. And because here's the thing about it. You can always come back to Damian and Finn. It's the way they've set this up is it's a long-term rivalry between the two, right? So a year from now, or say at Rumble, you can have Damian and Finn come back to each other. Or later on down the road, you can have Damian and Finn come back to each other. You can even have Damian sort of help orchestrate the fall of Finn's version of the Judgment Day if they don't just split up naturally. And that's sort of his revenge for what Finn did to him. Is he outthinks and he outsmarts Finn. But I mean, in terms of the feud, we talked about it last week, it's kind of cooled off a little bit, like especially after the betrayal at SummerSlam, because you've had multiple altercations, especially between Damian and Finn, where it's like Damian's kind of gotten his revenge on Finn a couple times. Like he's beat the crap out of Finn a couple times and Finn has certainly reciprocated. But this was just like, okay, all right, this is just more between the two. It was somewhat a muddle match because we did have interference, which nobody was surprised at, except maybe one guy. But you knew they were coming because Finn's the bad guy. Of course, he's going to get his cronies to come help him try to defeat Damian Priest. But yeah. In the end, Damian gets a definitive win by pinfall and then's Finn packing.
Yeah, and we'll see where it goes. It was a solid match. It was like, hey, I think Tim mentioned it, like it would be a good Raw match. And it was.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good match. I feel like it could have used a little bit more heat to it in terms of the style and what they were doing. I would have stayed away from interference because it just feels like cliche at this point with them. But that's where it goes. But yeah, it was fine.
I think if they're ever going to up the ante on it, you have Damian sort of come back and be like, you can't win without your boys. You can't win without interference. You're that much of a coward that you can't do this on your own.
Possibly. And I think Damian needs a little bit of Damian's in a solid spot, but he needs to get cooking again a little bit. And I think getting away from the Judgment Day will help. You got to move them on, because right now, if they continue down the road, and they could, and maybe they'll heat it up that way, you got to like heat him up in a direction where he can get some of his in-ring mojo back. Because right now, I think he's staggering in the ring. Like he's stuck. He's stuck in one spot.
He's stuck in neutral.
Yeah.
You need to find what you need to find for him is a role. When he was in Judgment Day and they ended up making him the leader and they put the title on him, he had that role and he was able to sort of like step into it and really take hold of it and really do something with it. With this feud, he's sort of just become a guy, right? A guy who's out for vengeance. Well, he's gotten his vengeance, so now what? So I think you just end it here, because like I said, you can always revisit it, but you move Damien on and you move Finn on and you rebuild them into something and you kind of keep them away from each other. And even if it's something that like Damien goes to SmackDown for a while and just kind of does his own thing over there just to get away from Finn, just to get away from the whole Judgment Day thing. You find him something to do. You find him a role to step into and he'll be fine.
So I'm just going to put it out there. We'll fast forward now 3 weeks from tonight when we're talking about Finn Balor and Damian Priest as the head of Crown Jewel. Anyway.
Well, I mean, you know, you only have 3 weeks. You can't build it. You can't build a lot in 3 weeks. You can build something, but you can't build anything, you know, really decent in 3 weeks. Unless it just involves something absolutely profane. So, you know.
Yeah. Just.
But after that.
Just want to point it out. 3 weeks from now, we'll be talking about it and how we don't want to see it as a unless they heat it up really well. Anyway,
yeah.
Let's talk about the next match.
Let's talk about the other half of the Terror Twins. Rhea Ripley taking on Liv Morgan with Dominic in a cage match. Dominic was fantastic in this. His sell of being in the cage, especially when they like lifted it up and he was like acting all afraid of the heights, was so well done. I enjoyed that. Tremendously. It's like, go Dom, go. Way to sell just not enjoying that experience at all and not being chill,
because he's legitimately afraid of heights.
I could tell based on the amount of times he was dropping f-bombs.
Mm-hmm.
I think I counted at least 5.
Yeah, he's legitimately afraid of heights.
Yeah, he was not having a good time, and yeah, I'm sure he did not enjoy being suspended upside down either.
No, there's a human pinata. No,
no, he did not enjoy that experience at all. But that was in part what made this match worth it.
Yeah, the match itself was all right, but it was more memorable for the stuff with Dom and then Raquel Rodriguez, who no one thought was returning anytime soon.
Except Brent.
Except Brent. Yeah, I mean, that night, it was kind of foreshadowed on the kickoff. But beyond that, going into the show before last Saturday, no one was really expecting her to show up. But they did, as we talked about on the show, they did talk about the past. Liv kind of broke down her past. And one mention was the stuff with Raquel, which is what put it in people's minds of, hey, she could be back. And it logically made sense if you watched the kickoff. The match itself was fine, but Raquel came in. The referee saw it all, had a call for disqualification. That's why they went to the pin. Even though they did the whole spot, she covered her, but it didn't count because the referee saw everything. And yeah, the original plan was Liv beats Rhea, but it ended up Rhea beating Liv by DQ, and that's where Brent screwed up the results of the thing.
Well, it was weird and it was awkward because I was like, when I was watching, I was like, wait, did they just DQ? Like, what just happened? It was a little confusing, but yeah, in the end, Rhea gets the win. After interference from Raquel, and frankly beating Dominic like with a kendo stick,
like a pinata,
which was highly enjoyable to watch. That made anything they did in this match worth it, just because to watch him get, you know, smacked around like that in story. I would never want that in real life, but in story, it was incredibly satisfying.
In game,
not in real life, in game.
In-game.
Just because it's like that's Rhea's level of revenge right there is just making him pay for his transgression against her. I wasn't expecting Raquel. I had honestly forgot about her, if I'm going to be just
very frank about it, so I'm sorry about that. I felt, I have to say it, her top choices were, who told her to wear that? I was very worried because it looked uncomfortable. Like that, mm-hmm. her top, and it was distracting. It was on there to the point it was distracting. I'm sorry. It was just distracting for me. Her top was literally plastered to her upper body. Like they had laced and taped that thing down so hard. Because it was pretty much a no-nothing top, right? It was just, like, stars over her boobs, and then, like, strips of pleather, some string holding it all together, and I think there was stuff on the back. I don't know. I don't remember. But they had, like, taped that thing down to the point that her chest was, like, compressed for fear of a wardrobe malfunction because she was going to get physical. And it just looked uncomfortable. It just did. It was weird. It was uncomfortable. But, that's what I remember from that match. I was like, oh, honey, no. No, don't do that. They don't like that. But yeah, no, this was fine. This was good. I would hope you move Rhea on to either Raquel or you just move Rhea on from this.
I think you move her on to Raquel. She's moving on to Raquel and then you can circle back to Liv. I think she's going to get Raquel, probably a Crown Jewel, if not Survivor Series. And yeah. That's kind of the plan.
And last, but certainly not least, Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns in the Battle of the Entrances took on the Bloodline, Solo Sikoa and Jacob Fatu, in a tag team match. There was gratuitous interference in this match.
At the end, yeah. I want to talk about the beginning one. That was the marching band, which was really cool.
That was neat.
And then the orchestra was a nice touch as well. I just like the beginning of them standing in the ring together going, is it going to be me or is it going to be you? Is it going to be me or is it going to be you? And them, like, not having a game plan of wanting to which one's going to start and who's going to be the leader of the team and then having to figure it out. And it played out through the match of, all right, you're going to get in, I'm going to get in. And they kind of sort of worked together, ended up figuring it out and working together by the end. And it told a good story throughout the entire match. I thought the match worked really well. Jacob Fatu in a singles match on a PLE at some point is going to be really fun and exciting. But I
interesting.
But that should be next year at some point. Give him mm-hmm. a big spotlight match on his own. And it'll be really, really fun. And it should do numbers. And he should be a future world champion of some sort in the next year or two, I think. He's going to work really well for them. But we saw the return of Jimmy Uso in this match.
Made me really happy because there's been a lot of speculation around Jimmy. And I think there's been a lot of people concerned about Jimmy.
Okay, the person concerned was Rikishi, his father. He started something and it made it seem like something was wrong with Jimmy. But Jimmy's been fine. But they told he came back. Everyone kind of figured he was coming back soon. He aligned with his cousin, Roman. They took out the Bloodline. They hugged. They celebrated.
Jimmy the hug heard around the world.
Jimmy was very happy. Roman was very happy to see him. And then the Bloodline started to beat down Cody, and Jimmy and Roman had walked away. And then Jimmy's like, we should help him. And Roman's like, no, that was a one-time thing. We're done. And then the reluctant babyface that is Roman Reigns slowly walked his ass back to the ring. He was not running. If you notice, he just walked. Like, he walked. Jimmy ran. Roman walked. And eventually pulled one of the Bloodline members out and started fighting them and then got in the ring and helped out. But he took a moment. He fast walked. He didn't run to the ring.
There was a sense of urgency, but it was not to the point that I'm going to run for this shit.
Yeah, I'll help, but I'll get there at some point. So they cleared the ring of the Bloodline. They exited through the crowd. Solo and Jacob, the other two were down. And then if you smell what the final boss is cooking, the final boss, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, shows up, stares him down, does a 1, 2, 3, throat cut, leaves. I don't know if you or Brent in our chat going, did you see the person with the cell phone camera?
That was Brent.
It was because Dwayne was live on Instagram coming out.
Like you do. I mean, when you're Dwayne Johnson, you can do that kind of stuff.
And then he went
and get away with it.
And then he went live again as he was walking out. Or it could have been the entire time, but I saw the clip of him walking out and trash talking, and didn't really say anything other than that. But the 1-2-3 has got people talking. What did he mean by 1-2-3?
He'll take them all.
Or is it a 1-2-3 triple threat match at WrestleMania?
I will take any combination they're in. We know that at some point they want to get to Roman and Cody. Or excuse me, Cody and Dwayne. They want to do Roman and Dwayne. But then you have Solo in the mix, which is really, really, really interesting. Jimmy.
But it would be Rock, Cody, Roman. I don't think Jimmy played a part. It would play a part in it, other than, you know, Jimmy thinks. But Solo in the crowd says, this is part of the plan, meaning he's in line with the final boss.
At least he thinks he's in line with the final boss. We don't know what the final boss is actually up to.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens there. And there was one other thing that happened. It was happened after the show. It was happened via fan footage, which we'll probably see more of tomorrow on SmackDown. And they have not the it's being handled internally, where Cody got beat up by Kevin at once.
Honestly, I like how they did this.
Yes.
I thoroughly enjoyed how they did this, because it's like they didn't air it on the show to make it blatantly obvious. There's that touch of reality in there where it's like, oh, Kevin attacked Cody in the parking lot, and it's only on social media in terms of being able to see it. And the way that they're selling it is really, really good, because it's like, oh, we don't condone this. You know, we didn't plan this. We're going to handle it internally. We're going to make sure Kevin gets punished for it. Like, all this stuff, it was really good how they did it and how they handled it. Even though you know it's completely storyline, just the touch of reality in it was good.
Yeah.
It wasn't just the typical roll up at the end of the show and beat him down.
So it got set up like, it all made sense, because so logically, which was weird, and I thought something was up, was like, because they announced Cody for the press conference. We're going to hear Cody at the press conference. And he never showed, and they went right to Hunter. Like they skipped over Cody, and Hunter was up. It was like, oh, what happened to Cody? And then you see the stuff on social about what happened. It's like, oh, that's how that all went down. Got it. So we'll hear more about it on SmackDown. But it was like, they didn't post the footage. It was fan camera footage. So that was good.
Fan in quotations. No, I think it was the plan.
No, there's a, because it was multiple different videos that I saw, it's legit fan footage. Maybe one of them was planned, but there's been multiple angles. So we'll see. So that's our show, right?
That's our show. We're not doing anything else. We don't have anything else we need to do.
Oh wait.
So that's our show.
Nope. We haven't asked the Rack, and the Ask the Rack was, hey, Lindsay, can you, at the end of the show, give your picks for WrestleDream?
Did Brent send the thing?
He did. It is in Discord. So I'll read the matches off to you, and you can give your picks for the show.
Okay, wait, no, hold on. Before you read shit off to me, let me read through it and make sure there's nobody I have to Google.
Okay, you may Google.
Okay, I already see one. Hold on, I'm Googling.
You're Googling it. So as she's Googling, the pre-show features the ROH Television Championship on the line, Atlantis Jr., the champion, defending against Brian Cage. Are you Googling Atlantis Jr.?
I'm Googling both of them, because I know the name Brian Cage, but I have to be reminded of who Brian Cage is.
You know who Brian Cage is.
I'm going to say Atlantis Jr. retains?
He didn't ask me, so I'll just say it anyhow, because this will be easier for him to grab. Atlantis Jr. The main show features Darby Allin taking on Brody King. Darby.
I'll go Darby.
The Hangman, Adam Page, takes on Jay White.
I don't have to Google this one. They're fighting with each other, right? Like, they're feuding with each other?
That would be why they're doing
Jay White. Sometimes he just throws shit together, so they're actually, like, embroiled in a feud.
Hangman has been beating up, he beat up and tried to hang Juice Robinson, and Jay White made his return to save Juice.
He tried to do what?
He tried to hang Juice.
Oh my god.
He is the Hangman.
Okay. I'm gonna, are we expecting this to be a long-term or a one-off?
I don't know. I haven't watched Dynamite yet, so I couldn't tell you what they followed with.
Hold on.
You're putting way too much thought in these matches.
I have to think about it. Taboo Tuesday. What happened on Taboo Tuesday?
We don't talk about Taboo Tuesday.
I guess, yeah, Hangman.
Hangman. The MXM Collection takes on the Acclaimed.
The Acclaimed are the guys that talk that rap, right?
Yes.
for whatever reason, I get them and the Scissor Guys mixed up.
They are the Scissors. They are the Scissors Guys.
Okay. All right. Cool.
They're the same people. One raps and then they scream, "Scissor me, daddy ass."
Okay. So I did know who they were. I just think of them as the Scissor Guys. I don't think of them as the Acclaimed. The Acclaimed.
Let's be different. I'll go MXM Collection. 2 out of 3 falls. The Beast Mortos takes on Hologram.
I don't know. Hologram?
Hologram. For the Ring of Honor World Championship on an AEW pay-per-view, it is Mark Briscoe defending against Chris Jericho, the Learning Tree. Hi, guys.
Hold on, let me look at that. I'm going to say Jericho wins.
For the Nueve?
Sure.
I'm going Mark Briscoe because I don't want to see Chris Jericho hold a title.
I don't want to see it either, but actually I won't see it because I don't watch it. So, ha!
Bye, guys. AEW TNT titles on the line. Jack Perry against Shibata.
Hold on, I gotta look Shibata up.
She puts a lot of effort into these. That's why she's the expert.
No, that's not why. I'm not the expert. No, I have to know. I have to know if I know who they are, because it's like I'll see names, but I am shit at remembering people's names, but I remember their faces really, really, really well. So it's like if I see the face, then I can associate the face to the name, and it's like, oh yeah, it's that guy or that girl or that person, you know? So I'm gonna go with Jack Perry.
Jack Perry. Is the AEW International Championship on the line in a 3-way match? Will Ospreay, Ricochet, Takeshka. She's Googling who Ricochet is because she is not aware who that is.
Yeah, I'm totally Googling Ricochet. I feel like you could have Ricochet win here, but I don't know because fuck it, Ricochet.
Will Ospreay. The AEW Women's Championship is on the line. Mariah May defends against Willow Nightingale.
I'm going to say Mariah May retains.
Mariah May retains. The AEW Tag Team titles are on the line. The Young Bucks take on the Private Party.
Never bet against the Young Bucks. Always the Young Bucks.
So do you know what Private Party's biggest claim to fame is?
I'm trying to think of who they are. No.
They beat the Young Bucks 5 years ago on the second episode of Dynamite. Do you want to know what they've done since?
Sweet fuck all.
There you go, Young Bucks routine. And the AEW World's Championship is on the line. Bryan Danielson against Jon Moxley. For those who do not remember, and I'm going to fill in the gap here. Last month, Jon Moxley tried to kill Bryan Danielson by stuffing a plastic bag over his head.
There's a theme I'm feeling. Now a lot of attempted murder.
Now they fight for the World Championship in a regular match. You know, attempted murder leads to traditional wrestling match.
I'm honestly surprised there was not a stip on this.
Me too.
I would have thought there would be some kind of like hardcore stip, given that just because it's Mox, purely because it's Mox, that they would put some kind of stipulation on this.
You want to know what the stipulation? You want to know what the stipulation is going to be?
Yes, if Bryan loses, his full-time career ends.
No.
Oh.
Referee discretion.
Well, yeah, there's that, but that's a stipulation for every match.
That's the stipulation. But no, that's what Bryan says. His full-time career is over once he loses. For backstory, this is in Bryan's home state or hometown or whatever in Tacoma. So they're in his home state, home field advantage.
I feel like the Bryan Danielson retirement tour is not over yet. However, for whatever reason, I don't feel like this ends clean, because you have Moxley's group that could get involved and try to cost Danielson, but I don't see them taking the title off of Bryan, since they just quite literally put it on him like last month, and I don't see Moxley wanting it. So I feel like the way you get around this, especially since there's no stipulation on it, like in terms of like special, you know, like weapons or whatever, that affords the opportunity for somebody to either turn on Bryan, as Brett has mentioned in the chat, or for the BCC to get involved and cost, like, and DQ the match. But I feel like this one ends in shenanigans, so Bryan retains. Here comes the money.
Here we go.
Money talk.
Here comes the money.
And that does it. So you just have to plug. So plug away. I'm free.
No, that was more who could be showing up.
Oh, damn. I gotta say. I mean, you know what? Okay, here's the thing. I want to see it happen. I want to see Shane McMahon show up in goddamn AEW just for the reaction. Just for the, like, and this is very petty of me, and I'm sorry, but I tend to be a petty person sometimes. All the time. Just before the purists, right? For a McMahon coming in to AEW, I just want to see the purists react. Because from my point of view, Shane coming in on a business side of things could be very good for them. I feel like he would be very beneficial if he came in and ran the company for Tony, or if he helped with the booking, or if he helped with the management of the company, just to sort of help get it what I feel like would be in a better state. Not that I'm saying it's in a bad place, but you hear things about the AEW office sometimes and you're like, yeah, it kind of reminds me of the TNA office back in the day. So like, if you actually start running AEW more like a business and less like a, you know, good old boy wrestling promotion, Shane could be beneficial in that. As a character, I don't know how I feel about it. I'd have to see him do it, but it will be weird if he does.
Be weird if he does. So who'd you go with?
It for the final match?
Yeah.
Brian.
Mox. Now we're done.
I'm free! You got stuff to plug, so plug away.
Tomorrow night, GM Battles, right after SmackDown. Tune in. We'll probably be talking about this show as we book. Tune in, it'll be a fun time. Saturday night, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. It's CB Radio Live. Sunday night.
How are you going to make me recap something I'm not going to watch? That will be the shortest recap in the history of recaps. It will literally be this person won, this person lost. It will be Rock reacting. That's what it's going to be.
Speaking of me reacting to the what happens in the results of the show, tune in this Sunday for CB Radio Not So Live.
Are there redeems on Not So Live?
No.
No, do not make me do another tier list.
I mean, we do need a discussion next week.
No. No, I am no. I am not doing that again.
Anyway, tomorrow, Sunday night, CB Radio Not So Live, filling in for WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio. At 10 p.m. Eastern, we're going to recap everything that goes down at Wrestle Dream. Monday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, it's so weird to say, is another edition of the Raw Post Show.
It was so weird. Oh my God, we got done, and we got off the phone, and I was like, I don't know what to do with myself. Because we finished before even Raw would end, and it's like, I'm so used to be doing the show after 11, that it's like, what do I do?
What do I do with my hands? We'll figure that out next Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern for another edition of The Rack. It's Rack Radio Show on all social media platforms. Where you get every good podcast, you search The Rack Radio Show. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Channel if you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. Support the channel by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can use carry code RocketSock or
Lynn's Inward.
In the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store, when you buy all the new Halloween stuff for Fortnite Mares, all your X-Men, all your Michael Myers and related things, and Saul and all the things. Because why?
We are hashtag Epic Partners.
Also, before you can follow me. Hold on. You also do exclamation point candy and check the link and download the Candy Crush game. And check out the VOD that we just did earlier today.
Ding! So you can follow me on most of the social media at Linsward, LNSWRD. You can check me out on YouTube, youtube.com/@SimmaLinsward. And you can follow me on TikTok, LinsWard0. And you know, while you're liking and subscribing and doing all the things, head over to Matt's channel, MBGFilms, youtube.com/MBG1211. And like and subscribe to his content and tell him we say hi. And that you like his stuff. And also, just a quick shout out to everybody down in Florida. I hope you guys are doing okay. I hope you're safe. If you can, guys, find a place to do like a a quality place to do a donation, see how you could help out, because the flooding's really bad and there's a lot of damage. So, you know, do what we can to help. But for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you later. Bye! Smart cookie, the vet that smacks rookies. My stock's on top, your checks bounce while mine's boogie. Wrist, I must rock it. Chicks, stop it, I knock it. Cash looks like I got a gang of fists in my pocket. Fist in my pocket. Fist in my pocket. Here comes the money. Money.
WildTalkRadio.com.